paper deal.
Thank you, Chairman. This policy in front of you today has been developed taking into account previous licence conditions and not a policy. In previous licensing of Hackney carriage vehicles and drivers was done by some conditions and not by a policy. This seeks to have the information up front there in place so both officers and members of the public wishing to apply for any of the licensees knows what is what they are required to do so before they do so. As you will see, it's broken down into sections relating to the different types of licences. I believe it provides a clear explanation of what is expected and level of requirements prior to applications being made. I'm more than happy to take questions on the policy and the report. My recommendation is, again, is in two parts. The first part being the approval or recommending, sorry, to the Executive Committee adoption of this policy. And option, and the second requirement, similar to the last one, is that this committee can actually approve the licences, which are licence fees, which are contained within the report. That would be to change option two to approve, not to recommend. One of the biggest changes in the policy to what was previously is that the policy now provides for up to a three-year licence for a driver. In the past, council only offered a one-year licence. From some of the responses from which we obtained, there seemed to be a favour from the trade that we can offer up to a three-year licence. The legislation allows us to do so. You may have some concerns around how will we know whether the person is still fit after 3 years. At the beginning of the application, we request that the driver signs a declaration that allows us to check their driving record or their driving licence through DVLA directly. We have our ability to do so. And also they must provide us with a DBS check every 3 years. So we're able to keep on track of both their motoring offences and any other offences that they may have been subjected to in the past or during their tenure of the licence. What we've also looked to do is try to control vehicles in relation to making sure they're fit for purpose by requiring a compliance test on first application at the beginning of the application, not during the application. As it currently stands now, is that a compliance test is similar to an MOT test. There's a few extra bits bolted onto the top of an MOT test to make sure that the vehicle is fit for purpose to carry people. What we want to make sure is that when we first license that, or the license is renewed, that the premises is fit for purpose. The vehicle is fit for purpose to do so. Officers, we're able to have the ability to call that vehicle in for checks during the year. We also have a number of two sort of inspection days a year where we inspect taxis with VOSA and the police, and they recall those vehicles, some vehicles in to ensure that they're still fit for purpose as the year goes on. We also do have a period or a day where just officers call a number of vehicles in and we'll check. So there are other tests in place to make sure that during that forthcoming year, when that license, the vehicle is licensed, we're talking about a vehicle will still remain a year, there is other checks that we can put in place. We think that the policy goes a long way. As you'll see, there was very, very few responses from the trade in relation to the policy. And I think the issues that the trade raised, we've actually dealt with. We did propose that any vehicle that was 8 years old or had 150,000 miles on the clock required two compliance tests a year, hence why we've gone back to the one single one and use other methods of determining whether we believe that vehicle is still fit during the year. I don't think there's much more for me to say, other than the fact that I recommend that you recommend the policy to the executive for approval, and I believe that the fees contained in the report are appropriate for the licences which are being offered today. Thank you.
Before I throw it over to Councillor Broomfield, two points. Paragraph 3.312. If a director does not renew their license within 7 days, and if it increases a new application, do you send a reminder letter to the drivers, or do they have to, is it on them to remember when their license is getting near the expiry date? And there was a point raised in one of the comments from one of the other taxi firms or driver that we only use one firm on the island.
We do notify drivers when their license is due for renewal. We do that a month to 6 weeks in advance. We also, if theoretically, the license does expire on the final day, but I think there's been some test case law where they said they need to give reasonable time to do so. Currently, there is only one garage that offers the facility for compliance test on the island. That is the answer. Yes.
All right. That was just the two queries I had. Over to Councillor Bloomfield.
Thank you, Chairman. Just my query on medicals. The driver obviously needs some sort of MOT or other. Is that just how often are they carried out, and will they be changed?
They require to have a Group 2 medical check. It's a standard medical which is throughout the profession. They do change at different ages when the frequency of that is required. I don't have that information in front of me. It's contained within the medical Group 2 medical check process. So yeah, the older you get, the more frequently your medicals are required.
So there's no change in that?
That's exactly the same.
Okay,
thank you, James. Probably for me misreading again, but never mind. You mentioned something about no smoking, and I know vehicles are certainly fitted with safety belts, and probably will be fitted with safety belts in compliance with whatever law it is. But what about science floors telling people to belt up?
I'm sure that can be added. It's something we haven't added. I think it is a known that people who get into a vehicle are required to wear seatbelts. I think the reason we put in no smoking signs is that people don't necessarily realise that it is a class as a workplace, and therefore smoking is not permitted, hence the reason for putting no smoking signs into the vehicle. People are required by law to wear a seatbelt.
Doesn't necessarily mean they wear them.
Exactly. There's no reason why we can't add that. It's just how sometimes some signs are fitted to some types of vehicles.
Councillor Pitcher?
Yeah, on the same point, my understanding was that no smoking signs were a legal requirement because you're required to display them in workplaces, whereas a seatbelt sign isn't a legal requirement.
I think Councillor Pitcher is totally 100% correct about it.
Any more questions? Councillor Barry?
Is there a separate policy for vehicles and
CPU,
yeah.
There
is the well, if you vote for me, you get good cover. Does this cover the drivers as well as this is the vehicle we're talking about now? This is the drivers. I'm trying to read you through it. You don't know whether you're talking about a man or a car or a woman in it or a car. This includes everything, Gillian. Because what I was looking for was if the driver got to have a clean license and all that, but has he got to be CRV checked as well? And it's interesting that it's cheaper to get a license for a car, a taxi, than what it is an A board. And you missed a you missed a 3-8 as well there on page one.
The first point in relation to does it count cover drivers as well? It's a policy which covers both vehicles and drivers,
right.
And also private hire operators, which are the people able to provide private hire vehicles.
So if somebody decided to be a taxi driver, they would have to comply. This is the policy they'd have to comply with, besides their car as well as their cell. I'm just intrigued to know why they're not CRB checked. I mean, they could be driving school kids to school and things like that. So why isn't that in there?
They are required to be CRB checked, all drivers of heavy carriage vehicles.
It's not called the CRB.
It's called DVS now.
Oh, right, so you know what I mean.
Yeah, they are required to do so. They have to provide that on first application and every 3 years thereafter.
But it doesn't say that in this policy. So there must be another policy there. Unless I've missed it, unless I've been looking for CRB rather than what it is. If it's not in there, it should be.
3.3.5. All Hackney Carriage private hire licensed drivers must provide an enhanced disclosure of criminal convictions on their first application and thereafter every 3 years.
Oh, that's good. Right. I was looking for a CIP somewhere. I couldn't see that. Okay, that's fine. I'm quite happy to move both recommendations, Chairman.
With the amendment of the fees.
Senator Barry opposed. Senator Hayes seconds.
With the amendment as to the adoption of the fees.
Yes.
Yeah.
All those in favour? Can we take them both together?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attendance. Meeting finished at 5:15.
Members' question time.
Oh, members' question time. Have we any written questions?
No, none received.
Oh, yeah, what a shame. Meeting closed.